Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Worms Team on Blog in the Boys Network in partnership of SB Nation. I am your host, Paul Stewart, and I'm joined as always the Welsh Dragon himself, Mr. Mike Poland. How are we doing, my man?
Yeah, all good, brother. How is the Scottish Claymore of Blog in the Boys doing?
Not too bad. All things considering, I think we, like, when we were discussing on the UK Cowboys fans podcast, I had a lot of venting out in that show. Nothing much really else I want to add on to that, to be honest, because it's well documented how much I am not in a particularly happy mood of how things are going right now.
Well, we did hit a low, I think, on the UK Cowboys show, yeah. And it was like, literally, we finished the show. Everyone disappeared. Me and you were left chatting for a minute. And I was like, are you okay, Paul? You know, I could just see you just like hunched over Deflate. And you're like, oh, yeah. Like, okay, mate. Yeah. Okay, I got you.
I think the best picture to summarize how I felt is the picture of Rowdy sitting down, yeah, head down. You know, that meme, yeah, of our mascot.
Yeah.
That's how I felt, pretty much. but we're not going to dwell on this.
We do have some
potential good news coming forward, obviously, just with the NFL draft coming up.
That's right.
Before we kind of quickly go through some of the news headlines and stuff like that, but we will kind of outline that me and Mike did post our mock drafts last week for the World's Team podcast on our Instagram, which you can also find on Blogging the Boys Instagram and all the social media as well. So let's just kind of dive into the news first, then we can start talking about our draft picks. So
yeah,
hit me with it, Mike. What's been going on in the past day or so?
All right, so Dak, his contract has come up again. Surprise, surprise. We're just in this never-ending closed loop on this situation. But ironically, now we've been hit with contradictory comments. So it's now like a back and forth with Jerry Jones on this. So first of all, we get comments at the start of the week saying no contract negotiations have occurred, nothing's in place, they haven't even begun, basically. And then later on this week then, I believe it was on Thursday, comments come out from Jerry saying, don't worry, Dak's not going to hit free agency, we're going to get this done. And it's like, okay, so which is it? Are you going to get into contract negotiations or aren't you? Because like right now, as Cowboys fans and Cowboys Nation, we are completely confused about what you're trying to do here.
And yeah, and if there's one thing that we mentioned, I think it was on last week's show, is we just want the front office to be honest with us. And that's the thing we're getting so annoyed about, is that if you told us what the plan is, then we can get behind it.
Exactly.
But because we're getting contradictory comments from Steven compared to Jerry, they say thing this week, they say the complete opposite the other week. It's definitely playing with the emotions of our fan base right now. And it's not fun. It's not cool. And with all the things that has been highlighted, obviously with Pollard, LVE, Tyron Smith, et cetera, all gone. Mike McCarthy on his last year of his contract, Zimmer on a 1-year contract. Like, not to yeah, not to mention, like you just mentioned about Dak there, but we've also got our backcourt quarterback, Cooper Rush. He's in the last year's of his deal. There's just so many things. It's just like, it keeps stacking up, and it's just like, it just hits you in the wall. It's just like, what else can possibly go wrong right now to get us into a more balanced base going into this season right now? I mean, don't get me wrong, bringing in Kendricks, great. I love that. I absolutely love bringing in Eric Kendricks, because obviously he's going to be a guy to learn under Mike Zimmer, etc., etc. All good, but it's not enough. For what we've lost doesn't really compensate what we need to do for the draft. It seems to be that every draft pick, and this is just being general, like being very general about it, we've lost over 11 players. Mm-hmm. Some of them have been very vital players.
Key players, like, yeah.
Exactly, yep. Mm-hmm. And we're going into this draft with only 7 draft picks. So we're going to be losing out in terms of the ratio here. So for an others to really compete against the likes of the Eagles, the Commanders, the Giants in our division, we still need to do a lot more to bring people in, I think. Because especially if you're Mike Zimmer right now, you're coming in and you're basically just picking up from what Dan Quinn's already took away without having to add any other additional value to your the way you want to run your defense. I think that's a bit of an issue.
Here's the thing, is that my take on it is that, that the Joneses aren't being honest with the fans. And you wonder that if they're not being honest with the fans, maybe they don't realize it. It means they're not being honest with themselves. And if they're not being honest with themselves, how can they construct a solid roster and let fans know they're invested in a plan that they have? Because it looks right now there is no plan. And they're not being honest with themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, just like if you were just to kind of put it in a nutshell, it just looks like if your general fan seeing what's been going on right now, they would be very confused. It's like, why would I want to invest when we're not actually investing in the team?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, because we've seen it in social media where fans are willing to boycott right now, and that's not a good sign. It's not. But the good thing is we've got a great franchise in terms of, when someone goes down, someone will obviously want it still wants to go to the games. That's cool. But it's still not a good sign. The fact that you've got diehards like myself and that, just like, I'm just thinking, come on, Jerry, we need to do something here. Like, to ease the pressure of like Will McClay going into this draft, especially. Mm. Like the expectation from the fans is every single draft pick in this year's draft needs to be spot on.
Needs to be fired.
Every single one of them. That's not good. That's unnecessary pressure that's been brought upon the front office themselves. So, but yeah, it's frustrating as hell. Mm-hmm. But it's funny that you mentioned Dak, but there's been another player that's been mentioned in the news headlines. It's former Dallas Cowboy Ezekiel Elliott's been re-mentioned back into the fold.
Yeah.
Now, I for one would welcome Zeke with open arms again. I would, because and the reason why I say that, right, is we know that Zeke is not at his peak level where he once was during his rookie contract. We know that. Mm-hmm. But he could still validly contribute to this team, even as a backup running back. He's not going to be your bell cow anymore.
Mm-hmm. He's not the stud he once was.
He's not, no. Like, not unless he's found the fountain of youth or something like that, you know? Yeah. But for a guy like Zeke, right, who previously in the past, during his rookie contract, he stated he would love nothing more to bring another championship to Dallas. He said it on multiple occasions over the years during his rookie years and stuff like that. And for him to come back, I think what he would bring to help the likes of Yadus Von, Rico Dowdle, and potentially whoever we might do draft in this year's draft, it could be Brooks, could be Benson, could be Blake Corum from Michigan. Who knows? It could be any one of those guys. But I still think having like Zeke coming back to the building is a good thing. But the downside of this, a lot of people are going to think it's a bit of a media stunt.
There will be a lot of that surrounding it. Yeah, for definitely. Yeah. You have to expect that.
Yeah, because our good friend and colleague at the UK Cowboys fans, Graham Wilson, made a really good point. It feels like it's kind of like, oh, we brought back Zeke, trying to like masquerade and kind of like forget what's already happened with the other stuff.
Yeah.
It feels like it's pulling over a curtain, like a patch over of all the damage. Like that I can totally understand, but... But on the main basis of football point of view, I still think bringing in Zeke would still be a good benefit to this team. Still,
there's a lot that he can bring. He obviously already knows the franchise. There's a comfortability factor because he'd be playing back with Dak. Knows the fans, knows the front office pretty well, the expectation. But you know, like you say, if he's playing in a reduced role as a backup running back, you think that if they need to draft a running back. So say that's your lead running back. So he's going to do the bulk of the work. Then you bring on a guy like Zeke, who we know what his skill set is, that he's then going to be running into defenders that are gassed out from what's already from the work laid ahead of him.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
You think how effective Zeke is renowned for being a guy who can get the dirty yards. Imagine what that would look like against defenders that are already gassed, that are already had half the tank emptied on them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's a really good point, Mike. And yeah, having like that type of presence back in the fold, like even like if you're on third down, you've got your like whoever the running back we may draft, he's worn them down. You're bringing in Zeke to really lay down the actual smackdown.
Yeah.
Like I'm almost talking as if I'm Dwayne Johnson there.
That's good. I like it.
But he'll be there to like kind of just to really like run the hammer like in that those key moments, the really short yardage gains. Yeah. That's one thing that Zeke is still good at.
Yeah,
it's the short yardage.
Another big advantage with Zeke as well, which we kind of forget about, is that we say we have pass protection. There you go. We say we've got concerns on the offensive line. Well, you bring a guy like Zeke back in. Now you've got that that last line of defense to keep Dak standing.
And I've been seeing this for years. That I would say Ezekiel Elliott is probably one of the best pass protecting running backs it's been in the league for the past 10 years.
Yeah, fantastic. Hands down. Fantastic player. Yeah.
Like the amount of times he's actually helped Dak in numerous occasions as the last line of defense, like when there's been a gap or a crease within the offensive line, Zeke is there to pick it up as the last man of defense for Dak there.
Yeah.
So I think that's also crucial to think about as well, because it's not always just about rushing the ball. It's always about protecting your quarterback as well.
Finding ways to win. Yeah.
Absolutely. But before we do go discussing our draft, there has, and this is not necessarily Cowboys-related news, but it's international news.
On the world's team. On a world's team.
Yeah, And we do want to kind of share this because the sport of football, or we call it American football here in the UK, is growing exponentially right now. We've got players all across the world now participating and getting opportunities to play in the NFL. And we've now just seen that Lewis Rees-Semmett, the Welsh international rugby superstar that he is, only 23 years old, has just signed a 3-year contract with the Chiefs.
Yeah. So you've got him. I know the comments people make about the IPP. I do agree somewhat to it, but you know, it's still an interesting move. You know, first of all, you got to know how that people already are saying, oh, that's it, he's made it. You're like, well, no, he's been given the chance to make it. Yeah, he's been given the chance to make it, basically.
Like, think of Isaac Aracon, for example.
Exactly.
But, like, That's the best way to describe it. It's a developmental contract, essentially. If he was to be promoted to the 50-man squad, then yes, then he's made the team, obviously. Yeah. But because of how the IPPP works, he's been given a 3-year pass to actually still be included, train with the team regardless, and it does not affect your roster spot. So, and there's other players in the IPPP like program, etc., that are going to get opportunities. So, for example, the kicker, the Irish international, Charlie Smith as well, he's been very impressive as well. So there's no doubt I would reckon he will get an opportunity. And I think, like the kickers, especially when it comes to all your rugby international players with the kicking experience, they've got a good shot of actually possibly becoming the kicker role for certain teams out there.
Yeah,
it could happen.
And the kicker role, I think, in that sense, is certainly expanded after you see right here in Dallas what happened with Brandon Aubrey.
100%. That is a great point, mate. Yeah. Great point. Brandon Aubrey, who had a soccer background, played in the MLS for a couple of seasons, then obviously played with the USFL and absolutely took it by storm, and we took a gamble on that. And I still remember my reaction at first. I was like, really? We're just... That's what
we're going with? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're going with. But by God, are we wrong as fans? Brandon Aubrey has became a fan favorite.
Oh yeah,
overnight, the fact that I'm losing my words to describe Brandon Aubrey right now, it just shows how much I appreciate him right now, and he's really solidified himself as one of the best kickers in the NFL. And that was only his rookie season, even though he's how old is he, like 27, 28 years old?
Yeah, something like that, 27 or 28.
Yeah, so he's not like a young rookie, but he's had experience in a different league, and he's obviously got football practice, playing with the MLS, and that. So he knows how to kick a ball, but doing it in the big stage, doing it for the Dallas Cowboys, America's team, the world's team, and to perform the way he has, making it to the Pro Bowl in his first year in the NFL is nothing but remarkable. So, when it comes to Charlie Smith or whoever, they could even make some dent like that when it comes to these other teams.
Never know.
Who knows?
Yeah,
we just wanted to give a wee quick highlight on the international growth of the NFL and names to keep your eye out for.
The thing is, you know, we talk about this like this, and you never know, you know, because like these IPP guys, they might go on to this practice squad. There could be an injury. There could be something doesn't quite click. Before you know it, they're moving teams. Another team will give them a chance. That other team that gives them a chance could be the Dallas Cowboys. So it's just a name worth mentioning.
Yeah. Well, it is now time to talk about draft.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
So, as we mentioned earlier on the show, me and Mike both did our own individual mock drafts this week. Both got some praise. I would say maybe more on yourself. Initially got a little bit of criticism, but now because of what's happened with Dak, people are like, it's not so bad anymore. But just to give you a highlight of what we did, so I'll run through what I did for my mock draft. So with the 24th pick overall, the Dallas Cowboys went with Jackson Powers-Johnson, the center from Oregon. In the second round, we went with Edgar and Cooper, the linebacker from Texas A&M.
Gigum.
In the third round, pick 87, we went with Trey Benson, the running back from Florida State. Pick 174, we went with Jalen Harrell, the defensive end from Michigan. Mm-hmm. On 216, we went with Dominic Lovett, the wide receiver from Georgia. Pick 233, I went with Marcellus Dial, the cornerback from South Carolina. And finally, 244, I went with Laydin Robinson, the guard from Texas A&M. So just to kind of break down why I went with some of these players, because I'm paying close attention to who the Cowboys have been talking to, etc. And given maybe if there's a player too good not to pass up on, then I just kind of bite the bullet with it. So obviously, Jackson Powers-Johnson, he's not really had any much discussions with the Cowboys, if any at all. But Cooper has, Benson has, and I believe Harrell has, and Robinson. So there's four out of my seven draft picks I've had strong contact with the Dallas Cowboys, either with interviews or informal interviews. So that's kind of been my basis behind it.
Okay, I like it. I mean, like, the one thing I will say, interesting, something I read today about Jackson Powers-Johnson from some people inside the NFL is saying that NFL scouts are actually not as high on Jackson Powers-Johnson as the media is, as we are. So that, to me, spells one of two things. It's either a character thing, or it's more than likely it's medicals. That's something that's only sparked up, that I've read anyway, certainly, was today. Now, to me, you watch the tape, I think if there's anybody who's worth on the inside offensive line taken in the first round, it's Jackson Powers-Johnson. Yeah, yeah.
100%. And just to give Jackson Powers-Johnson a big shout, he actually liked my mock draft on Instagram. So thank you, Jackson, for the kind like on our on my draft choices. So, but thank you for that. But on to yours, Mike.
Alrighty.
So with Mike's mock draft, for the 24th pick overall, you went with Amarius Mims, the tackle from Georgia. Mm-hmm. For the second round, and I do quite like this one also, is Zach Frazier, the center from West Virginia, which I think is remarkable considering
to fall that far.
To fall that far. So that to me is, yeah, do it.
But it's quite interesting, though, Paul, that me and you, within the first two picks, we both picked center. So we both keyed in as that as a key priority, that we both keyed in on it.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to continue on, with the third round, you went with Burke Irvin, the running back from Oregon. And the fourth round, you went with Jordan Jefferson, the defensive tackle from LSU. And this one I do particularly like. You went with Jalen Ford, the linebacker from Texas.
Sneaky.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure he is a guy has been lined up for interviews with the Cowboys as well, sure. Mm-hmm. With the 234th pick, you went with Willie Roberts, the cornerback from Louisiana Tech. And, of course, your last pick at 244, the one that caused so much controversy on the comments, is you went with Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback from Maryland.
You really like to cause
a little stir in the pot there, didn't you, Mike?
Mate, you know me. I've got to create some sort of spark on anything. I've got to throw that out there.
Just for our listeners right now, just to give Mike, I'll give Mike his props, but he is an agent of chaos. That's the best way to describe Mike. Sometimes I do want to strangle him across the net because he does drive me that insane sometimes, but I love him. He's one of my best friends. But I was like, really? You went for a quarterback? But now, after what's happened with the whole Dak situation, and now we've got Cooper Rush in his last year of his contract, it's like, you know what? I can't hate it, but yeah. I don't love it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's like I'm like, you know.
Yeah. Ooh, but I'm more or less they're taking. Just, I'm taking a leaf out of the Mike McCarthy draft philosophy because he's just renowned for taking
yes.
quarterbacks with the final pick. We've seen it already at Dallas, and he yep. did it while he was in Green Bay. It's just one of his things.
Yeah,
so,
there was DiNucci. Was Mike White one of them?
I think Mike White was before.
Was that still with Jason Garrett?
I believe okay. so, yeah, yeah. But, right. yeah, you know, like, he's renowned for doing it. So that's what I was doing. And people then, yeah, losing their minds, going, oh, there's more needs than quarterback. You're like, just wait now, just wait. But, yeah, that's I mean, it's very interesting, though. Both me and you, though, I've gone heavy offensive line in my particular draft, but we've both gone.
And I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I just find it interesting that we've both gone offensive line and running back early. I mean, you've got the linebacker in there a lot earlier than I have. I'm just kind of like waiting and hoping. Because what I truly believe, and I do believe this, is that they are going to get more linebackers. They are going to get at least one in the draft. But I think they're going to fill, they're going to roll with what they've got now. And then they're going to fill the rest up with bodies off free agency.
Yeah,
I totally
agree with you. Like, so I'm just trying to remember, but do you have the 30 day visits on your list by any chance?
I do have it. If you give me a second, because I've got them all.
Right. Well, while you're getting that, I can discuss what we're going to be doing for the world's team mock draft. Me and Mike combined, we're working as the GMs here, so we're going to do the whole. We're going to do the whole 7-round mock draft and no trades. There's no trades involved. We're going to just pick at the time. We will do another mock draft closer to the time and we will probably look at more accurate data, see what's more available in the lead up to the draft. But for this one, it's just straight up no trades. Mm-hmm. No trading up, no trading back. Yeah. We're just going to pick. So, are you all good there, Mike?
Yeah, I'm just trying to get to the. I've got them all written. You know what I'm like. I've got them written down here somewhere, and I'm just trying to find them. Where are we? Here we go. All right. Yeah, I've got my list here.
Yeah. So, can you highlight any of the linebackers that have visits? Because we know Cooper's one of them.
Cooper is another.
Jalen Ford is one of them.
So he hasn't officially visited yet, but his name has been mentioned. But one that has visited is Temple's linebacker, Jordan McGee.
Jordan McGee. Interesting. Okay, yeah. So I think because what me and Mike are looking to do, we're trying to see what the Cowboys would do based on those factors as well. The players they've talked about, the players they've went to see on the pro days, like the players from Michigan that I know, the word Michigan scares a lot of us right now because, well, less be said, the better.
Yeah.
But it's something that needs to be considered. So,
we could use the 30 visits and as well the formal interviews at the combine.
Yeah. But with that being said, let's start the version one of the world's team mock draft.
Woo-hoo.
Okay, so we are going to be running the pff.com mock draft simulator. We have set it all up to our needs in terms of draft for needs, the randomness, the care for positional value, etc., etc. And we're just going to set the speed to fast so we can see slightly what the other teams are picking as we go down. So with that being said, let us begin. So no surprise Taylor Williams goes number one, but so...
Do you know what's wild? So, the Bears only have 4 picks in this draft. I didn't even notice that.
Wow, that's nuts. Right. Okay, so let me scroll back up to see who's all kind of went. So Caleb Williams went to the Bears. Jaden Daniels went to Washington. Drake May went to the Patriots. Nabbers went to Arizona, Harrison to the Chargers, which I think would be a great pick for the Chargers, to be perfectly honest with you.
Wow.
The J.J. McCarthy one, that screams New York Giants every single day. I am not going to lie. It feels like that's going to be another Daniel Jones draft pick, if I'm being perfectly honest. Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah, he's won a national championship, but I just don't see it. I really don't.
Yeah, I've got my reservations on McCarthy. And I get why he's so enticing, why people like him. But for me, you know, his cerebral understanding is good. But to me, it's just like there's just a slow release on that pass. It's very weird. He's got a strong arm, but the ball placement is bad.
Okay, so just to quickly run down for the other names, Joe Alt, tackle, went to the Falcons. J.C. Latham went to the Bears. Brock Bowers, tight end, went to the Jets. Troy Fotanu went to the Vikings. Talese Fuga, tackle, went to the Broncos. This is going to be a tongue twister. Aluminiya Fashnu went to the Raiders. And Terrian Arnold, cornerback, went to the Saints. Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback, to the Colts. Laiatu Latu, edge rusher, went to the Seahawks. Dallas Turner, edge rusher, to the Jaguars. Byron Murphy, the second, from Texas, goes to the Bengals. Cooper DeJean went to the Rams. Jared Verse, went to the Steelers. Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver, went to the Dolphins. Tyler Guyton went to the Eagles, which I'm quite surprised about. Nate Wiggins, cornerback, to the Vikings. And by God, we have actually got a good list of options here, Mike. I'm not going to lie.
And both of our, from our drafts, are both there.
And my guy, I am a big fan of, Mr. Graham Barton from Duke University, is there also.
Yes.
So even if we were to do a trade, we could still pick up one of these guys easily.
Oh, yeah.
So Graham Barton, for me right now, is one of the guys that has been having discussions with the Cowboys.
He has.
And Amarius Mims as well. And I believe Peyton Wilson, the linebacker, has also had discussions with the Cowboys, I believe.
I don't know about that one. He's not on my list, but that's not to say there's no rumors surrounding him.
Right. Okay. So we've got some wide receivers in there. We've got Zach Frazier also in there. He's ranked number 32. Adonai Mitchell, Peyton Wilson, safety Tyler Newbin, Graham Barton from Duke, Jackson Powers Johnson, who I freaking love to pieces. I would love to get him. Kool-Aid McKinstry. What a name that is. My God. Amarius Mims, the tackle from Georgia. And Jerzan Newton, the interior defensive tackle from Illinois.
Johnny Newton.
Johnny Newton. There you go. So tell me, Mike, what are you thinking here for your first pick at number 24.
So I was with you on straightaway the first name that cropped up because of the versatility and how he just performed on his pro day is Graham Barton. Like you always say, like go with what jumps out of you straight away. Graham Barton does straight away. And, you know, because he's got this so much versatility to play up and down the line, you can draft him now and figure it out later. So you just be like, whereas, you know, like with Mims or Jackson Powers, you really kind of just, you're limiting to what your plans are. Barton, you could just be like, right, let's just get this guy. He's a Swiss Army knife. We'll figure out which tool we're going to pull out in camp and go from there. We'll shuffle the line from there. Kool-Aid, I don't mind. I quite like Kool-Aid. And I like the idea of Adonai Mitchell.
Like, I don't think cornerback is a priority, though. We know that. So our priorities obviously is offensive line, running back, and linebacker, and possibly wide receiver now as well. So that's also to be also put into consideration. But I think with this being a very heavy offensive line draft choice, we're going to have to go offensive line. And that's one thing that Dallas Cowboys have done so well. Mm. And since Tyron Smith, who's now Pastor's new to the New York Jets, whenever we draft a first-round offensive lineman, it turns out better than we expected, from Travis Frederick to Zach Martin to Tyler Smith. So, and I totally agree with you. So the versatility thing, I think, is good. We need to look at the other options, though, for center, though, later down the draft.
Yeah, I mean, but there's nothing...
If we have worked it.
Yeah, yeah. But so... I agree with you. But there's nothing to say that when we get to camp, they don't try and see what Graham Barton could actually do at center if they really wanted to.
Who knows? They could be very comfortable of having... What's his name? Who's already on our roster right now?
Brock Hoffman.
Yeah, like he's willing, like he's made a statement saying he's willing to step up to the plate. So, so what do you think, Mink? Do we go with Graham Barton?
I think in this particular case, based on how they were at the combine with him, pro day, versatility, which they love. You know, when you look at what they've already done with Smith.
And how much interaction he's had with the Cowboys, with the interviews, etc. So, yeah. Okay.
That'll be
Barton. Okay. So, with that being said, the Dallas Cowboys have selected Graham Barton of Duke University. There we go. Right. So, I'm not going to mention all the second rounds.
This would be an hour-long show.
Yeah, we don't want to bore the living daylights of our listeners. So I've just mentioned every single name. But yes, so we're now coming up to pick number 56. So, okay, very interesting. Mm. Very interesting here. So we've got Roman Wilson, wide receiver from Michigan. Yeah. Ricky Parcells.
Really good. Yep. Really good receiver.
From Florida. We've got Jermaine Burton from Alabama. Yeah. We've got defensive interior tackle Rook Orohoro. We've got running back Jonathan Brooks, from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
We've also got Mershon Nealand, edge rusher from Western Michigan. Jalen Polk. Polk, I'm pretty sure, is one of the guys also has been having discussions with the Cowboys, I believe.
Yeah. On wide receiver.
I don't know if it's informal.
Informally, yeah. But still. Yes, yeah, informally.
Yep, we've also got Junior Colson in there, the linebacker from Michigan.
Yeah, and that was the guy me and you have spoken about before, and they have had discussions with him. See, in this particular case, looking at the guys that we've got, knowing that what the Cowboys are thinking and how they go about their second-round draft philosophy, they always take the risks and the gambles here. First round, you go... They're going to go BPA or they're going to get a player that really fits the mold, right? The second round players are always the guy they take a gamble on. Even Sam Williams was a little bit of a gamble, right? So this is, this guy falls straight into the wheel. As soon as I seen him, I was like, there's your second round guy. They're a guy that he's coming for a 30 visit. He's not going to wheel back around to the third round. So Jonathan Brooks, I feel, is going to be the guy. And the added bonus is that, I know, but the added bonus is... The guy who done the ACL surgery for Jonathan Brooks was the Cowboy surgeon. So that goes some length of way.
Yes. But based on those statistics, I cannot argue with that. But I am just not convinced.
I'm with you.
Yeah, so but thinking, what would Jerry do?
Exactly.
That's why I'm not thinking what I would do.
What
would Jerry do? Mm-hmm. And I tend to agree with you. I think Jonathan Brooks would be that pick at number 56.
100%.
Despite having likes of Junior Colson there and several, some of these wide receivers that the Cowboys have had talks with. So, so what do you think?
It's gotta be. I literally think we're doing What we think the Cowboys would do, I think in this situation, what the Cowboys would do is go Jay Brax.
Right. Okay. Well, with that being said, the Dallas Cowboys have selected Jonathan Brooks, running back from Texas, in the second round.
Yeehaw. I mean, like, I'm with you. I've got my reservations. And the fact that he's a one-year wonder as well. And in that one-year wonder, he got injured. So, you know, it's not a great resume to begin with. But,
right.
You know, they know the medicals know better than us.
Yep. So here we are. We're now in the third round, and it has changed up a little bit here.
Oh.
And already I see who I want. Already.
Me and you are looking at the exact same straight away. Straight away, this is a no-brainer. This is a no-brainer.
This is a no-brainer, Cowboys fans. So remember when we talked about likes of a Zach Frazier and Jackson Powers Johnson? Cedric Van Pran, the center from Georgia, as one of those guys, I've also been having discussions with Dallas right now.
Yes, he has.
And he would fit this team to a T, I would say. Like, I like what I saw from him. So just to give you more history about him, he had a really good year in 2023. His run block grade is 76.9, his pass block grade 81.5. And in terms of his physical attributes, he's 6'4, 310 pounds, and he's 22 years old, and he's very high IQ. Now, when it comes to high IQ for centers, that to me screams of Travis Frederick, a player with very high IQ. So already I don't care about the other positions. I've been privileged because when I saw Van Pine there, it makes perfect sense. But I will run through the other names that are available. You've got Christian Mahogany. What a name that is as well. From Boston College. You've got Renardo Green, cornerback from Florida State. Jeremiah Trotter Jr., linebacker from Clemson.
He's the only other one that interests me.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. But I don't think he's one of the guys that has had any like workouts or something, or any discussions with Dallas, I believe. I don't think he's one of the linebackers, I believe.
No, he hasn't. No, you're right.
No, he hasn't. Yeah, so we can forget that. Cameron Kitchens, safety from Miami. Jamari Frash. That's a great name. Frash. Hell yeah. wide receiver from Louisville. Andrew Phillips, cornerback from Kentucky. And quarterback Spencer Rattler from South Carolina. But yeah, I think we don't even need to go into more further discussion who we're picking here.
It would be.
So, so you happy enough with that, mate?
We were both on it straight. It was the name, like you say, the name that first crops up is the name you go to. Like you say, you know, you're going through Cedric Van Pran. You know, the issues on the run blocking are very apparent. He's not a mauler in that sense. His pass protection is pretty good. It's pretty stout. The IQ level. Don't forget, right? He won the Jacobs Blocking Award, which is for the best offensive lineman in the SEC. So there you says it all.
Well, with that being said, the Dallas Cowboys have selected Cedric Van Pran, center from Georgia, in the third round.
Flying, mate. We're flying.
Okay. Yeah, we're doing there. So now we've got a wee bit to wait till it gets very challenging. Because obviously we do not have a fourth-round draft pick for all the seasons. We did that for Trey Lance. That's a whole discussion on itself, but we're not going to get into that today.
The only trouble is when we're doing the live show during the draft and day three kicks off, we have got to wait. I was thinking about that the other day. Our live show, you're going to be sitting there for the first segment, for the first quarter on day three going, okay, we're not doing anything right now. We've just got to make idle chit-chat.
Yeah. And we're still waiting. It's still processing right now. So we're just coming up to our pitch just shortly now.
It's coming up. Here we come. And we're on you. So this will be quite interesting to look at now.
Okay. Now, this is very interesting. Okay, right. So we're at the pick of 174, and there's quite a lot of running backs. There's quarterbacks available, edge rushers, some tight ends, but I am not entirely too sure where to go with this pick, if I'm being perfectly honest with you, Mike. Because I'll read out the names. So Tyron Tracy, running back from Purdue, Kamel Haden, cornerback from Tennessee, Joe Milton III, quarterback from Tennessee, Dylan Lube from New Hampshire, the running back, James Williams, safety from Florida, Dylan Johnson, running back from Washington, Ladarius Henderson, tackle from Michigan, Braden McGregor from Michigan, edge rusher, Talib Still from Maryland, cornerback, A.J. Barner, tight end, Michigan, Luke McCaffrey from Rice University, wide receiver, Kamani Vidal, very interesting, Kamani Vidal, running back from Troy, Jordan Jefferson, defensive interior tackle from LSU, Ryan Watts, cornerback from Texas, Tip Raymond, tight end from Illinois, Justin Rogers, defensive interior tackle from Auburn. Yeah, and the more I go down this list, there's some tackles, there's some guys that we could probably get later on in the draft, perhaps.
Luke McCaffrey is the one that first initially stands out to me. Had quite an interesting senior bowl, but go on, sorry, mate.
Yeah, I do feel we need to pick up a defensive player in this round.
We have gone offense heavy, that's for sure.
We went with two offensive line and a running back, so that's perfectly sound. I would be happy enough to go back to wide receiver maybe in the sixth round.
Yeah, sure.
But I think with this pick, it needs to be defense. And there's Braden McGregor, the edge rusher. There's Jordan Jefferson, who you've picked as well previously.
Yeah.
In the draft. At that pick, and just to give you more insight, he had a okay season in 2023. He has getting better and better year by year. His run defense grade is better. His pass rush grade is not so great, so I'm not entirely convinced, but he's played primarily over the B gap, so
He did, but one of the notes I've got on him is he makes for an interesting guy based on his size, where you could play him either on the edge, so over the edge, or you could play him as a one tech. He's got that mode to him.
Over the edge as a five tech?
Yeah. Or you could play him in as a one.
Oh, no. I don't agree with you on that one, to be honest with you, Mike.
I'm saying because he's fast. He's got agility and he's got speed.
Well,
I know there's the size part. I would agree, but I haven't got his combine numbers. I haven't quite got round to doing the defensive ends and defensive tackles on that front. But I know it's not that bad, and he's pretty good. The pass rushing techniques need some work. Obviously, we're talking about a day three guy. So you're looking at traits. You're looking at what can you play with. Speed and agility is what this guy's got for size.
Okay, so read me out some any defensive players that are on the 30-day list that could be there available.
On our list so far, there isn't anybody standing out, to be honest with you. One moment. Braden Fisk is one. That would have been nice.
That would have been nice. Here's an outlier. Safety.
That would be wild. I mean, it would be wild in the sense that safety is really one of the only positions in Dallas that's pretty solidified. That we've gone from it being one time an issue to it now being a strength. It's not, certainly in numbers and quality.
Yeah, because I'm looking at James Williams right now, and I'm just looking at his stats. He's had experience playing at corner, playing on the slot, and he's also played in the box. So he's got versatility with him as well.
I see where you're going there. So draft him, but use him as a corner.
And here's the thing, he's 6'5".
Mm.
So where it comes to, so let me see. So in terms of his coverage grade, it's really high, 85.6. His run defense, not so much. But it's in terms of coverage stops, he was tied for 9th. And run stops, he was tied. So he was tied for 106 with 9 coverage stops, 484 for 6 run stops, and he's allowed only 2 touchdowns and gained 1 interception in 2023.
Yeah, the one I always like to key on when it comes to defensive backs, same with wide receivers, is what's their QB rating that they allow or what they get when they're targeted. And, you know, 82.5, it's okay. It's fine.
Okay, so the other question we did say as in our priority was wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And we did highlighted Luke McCaffrey. And correct me if I'm wrong, he is relative to Christian McCaffrey, correct?
Correct, yes.
And based on his 2 seasons so far at Rice University, he's been doing some pretty decent numbers, actually.
Yeah.
It was 723 yards in 2022. And last year, he almost broke 1,000 yards and he scored 13 touchdowns. And he was targeted 120 times with 71 receptions.
Uh-huh.
And he plays the slot as well. And he can play wide, but primarily on slot. So quite an interesting look. And he's 6'2", 195.
Mm-hmm.
He can definitely add some more weight on, I would say. But yeah, I'm actually quite intrigued by that. And who's been playing against, he actually had an okay game against like Tulsa. And yeah, they have really good game against Houston. Mm-hmm. Didn't do that great against Texas.
That was Texas. But I mean, like, yeah. He didn't have a bad Senior Bowl. Senior Bowl looked good. A lot of people are like, ooh, you know, they think of straight away Christian McCaffrey. And when you think of Christian McCaffrey, you think of the athleticism. But Luke McCaffrey didn't really test all that well. But he's not that type of wide receiver. He's a guy who's he's a savvy route runner. He's a natural pass, you know, he's natural pass catcher. Will make the acrobatic catches. You see that in him. I kind of like him.
Yeah, so another name I'm just popping up for consideration is edge rusher Solomon Bird from the USC Trojans. And I have to say he had a fantastic 2023 season with 7 sacks, 12 QB hits, 22 hurries, and yeah, his pass rush grade, 81.7. His run defense grade 74.8, which is still way above, way over the average. His pass rush run rate is 13.9%. His run stop rate is 7.6. And his true pass set rush grade is 87.4. That is a really good stats there.
Yeah, and he's a transfer from Wyoming. When he got to USC, did look a lot better.
He's played some really good teams this year. He played Nevada, Stanford, Utah, UCLA. His best game was against Utah, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Earning an overall score of 90.2. So, and if that's one thing, we've lost Darnell Armstrong. Like, I still think we don't know what we're going to do with Micah Parsons, essentially, we're going to keep him at linebacker or whatever. So I think maybe this could be the idea where we're going with here.
I mean, I'm happy to go with it. Like, he is a good pass rusher, I will say that, but he does lack length and he is slight of frame for the position. So you're going to have to do something there. But the other issue you've got with him is you need to slow him down. He's like a bull in a china shop. So
I don't know about that. Like, I mean, 6 foot three, that's a pretty decent size for a defensive lineman.
Yeah,
so,
look at the weight.
250 for a edge rusher, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Edge rusher?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. But, I mean, like, he plays like a bull in it. So, he's sometimes so aggressive on the style he plays that he'll play himself out of the plate. You know, he's too aggressive. Mm. But he is a very good guy. High motor player.
Well, if that's the case, I think this is something that Mike Zimmer would quite like in his defense, I'm being perfectly honest.
Yeah. I mean, like, let's balance it out.
Yeah. We need to bring some balance to our draft here. So,
yeah.
But you know what the scary thing is? Look who the Eagles picked. They picked Jalen Harrell from edge rusher from Michigan, a guy that Dallas have had discussions with. So
I was looking at that.
That would have been the pick if that was the case.
Yeah.
But if you're okay with this, go ahead.
I'll go with that.
All right. Okay, with the 174th pick, the Dallas Cowboys have selected Solomon Bird, edge rusher from USC.
Very nice. And, you know, fills a need. And you're going to have to, you need to build that lineup. It's aging. There's some guys that have gone through free agency. You've got to load that defensive line back up, certainly a pass rusher, which is kind of ironic to say when last season, pass rusher was a place where we have plenty of riches.
Mm-hmm.
How quickly it can all change.
Right, so we need to be more on the clock here. So we need to think about, I know exactly who I'm picking here.
Yeah, yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
This one's
so
a lot easier than the last one.
This is a lot easier. We're not going to even debate who's available. We're no, like, Jalen Ford, linebacker, Texas.
Go.
That's it. Game over. Right? Okay, so that's easy enough. Okay, with the 216th pick in the NFL draft, the Dallas Cowboys have selected Jalen Ford, linebacker from Texas.
Another guy. Great that senior bowl.
That one was easy.
Yeah, good senior bowl. Hell of a run stopper. I mean, this guy has plenty of tackling fuel. You're not a guy you're going to want to send on the blitz, but that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. This is the guy I quite like as well, right? And I picked him in my mock draft.
Yeah,
it's Marcellus Dial. Marcellus Dial, a guy from cornerback from South Carolina. I quite like him a lot. I'm just trying to look if there's any other names that kind of scream out at us there. So there's Brandon Coleman, tackle. We're good there now. Dominic Hampton, safety. Deshaun Fenwick, running back from Oregon State. Keith Randolph Jr., defensive interior tackle, perhaps. Curtis Jacobs, linebacker. We just drafted Jalen Ford there. Donovan Jennings, tackle.
Zachary
Franklin, right receiver from Mississippi. Tanner McLaughlin, tight end from Arizona.
Yeah.
And further down the line, it just kind of gets a little bit, goes further down for there. But yeah, interesting. So what are your thoughts, Mike? Where are your head at? Because it's either two positions for me right now. It's defensive interior tackle or cornerback right now.
Yeah, I mean, I go with it either, but I'm also looking at Zachary Franklin. I really like Franklin.
Oh, yeah. I can't forget about that. Right. So let's have a wee look at Franklin because I don't know too much about him. So he didn't have the best year in 2023. I believe that was due to injury, I believe.
Because
he only played four games last year. But based on 2022 and 2021, both over 1,000-yard seasons.
Yak daddy. Is this guy
a
lot of yards of yak?
And he plays on the wide,
yeah,
not on the slot.
Correct.
So he's a wide, proper wide, wider right receiver. That would actually be a replacement for Michael Gallup, essentially.
Mm-hmm. And you know he's got reasonable height.
And again, just to go back to your point about the Dallas Cowboys medical staff, who are the best in the world, they can bring players back from literally from the dead, essentially, to still have a career.
Yeah.
So I'd be happy enough to, at this point, pick a wide receiver.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And me. And, you know, this is a guy who's a great hands catcher. He's a good catcher of the ball, not many drops, which Dak is going to like. He's a fairly good and sensible route runner as well. So that's important as well. Mm-hmm. Middle of the field, he's got it down.
All right. Okay. Well, with that being said, the Dallas Cowboys have selected Zachary Franklin, wide receiver from Ole Miss, Mississippi.
The Rebels.
Okay, we're now going into our final pick at 244. And who do we have available? Okay. So we've got a few other linebackers here available.
Your guy is there as well. Laden Robinson.
Yes. But with Tyler Smith there playing guard, and we've got now just drafted Graham Barton, which I love to pieces.
Yeah.
And we've also brought in Cedric Van Pran. Thank you.
Yeah.
And Laden Robinson is a guy that has had interviews with the Cowboys, but.
Yeah.
But I still think we need to add some more to the defense.
I agree.
Because now the news of Mazi Smith with the shoulder injury.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen till camp, I believe. And also we've lost Jonathan Hankins to the Seahawks. So that's now a question in need. It's a need. So I'm going to filter this down to the defensive interiors.
Yeah, I'm with you.
We've got Keith Randolph Jr., Evan Anderson from Florida Atlantic, Jaden Cromedy from Mississippi State, Tim Smith from Alabama, and Gabe Hall from Baylor. Those are the remaining defensive tackles in this draft.
Yeah. So the one, if you're thinking for somebody to cover you,
it's big. We're looking for big body. Yeah.
The real true nose tackle out of those is Evan Anderson.
Yeah, let me just get his statistics. So, and wow, he's actually had pretty good statistics in terms of his grades here. So run defense, 83.7. Had a great game against Tulsa this year. And he does play primarily over the B gap, but he has played quite a fair substantial snaps at the A gap as well, so he can do it.
Yeah.
But in terms of his weight, that screams yes. 356 pounds, 6'3", big boy.
Yeah, he's the one true nose tackle. So that's the guy that you've got to cover you for Mazi. I'm just going off what you were saying. You know, like you brought up the Mazi thing. So I was thinking, well, if that's the case, Evan Anderson is a guy. And you know, true run-stopping nose tackles, this is the sort of place where you take those guys.
Yeah.
Really good run-stopper.
Well, I am more than happy to do this one, if you are.
Yay, this is your pick. I got you to go for Zachary. So this one could be yours.
All right. Well, with that being said, if I can find the music. Well, with the final pick for the Dallas Cowboys in the World's Team mock draft, the Dallas Cowboys have selected Evan Anderson, defensive interior tackle from Florida Atlantic Owls.
Yes.
Okay. Now, here's the interesting part. Our grade.
Here we come.
And here it comes.
What do you think it's going to be? I think that's going to be a B plus.
I think we're going to get a B plus. B minus or B plus. Okay, so we've got an A for Graham Barton, Jonathan Brooks B plus, Cedric Van Pran B, Solomon Bird's been given a D.
Yeah, yeah.
Jalen Ford B plus. Yeah, I'm really happy with that, actually.
Yeah, it all works.
Yeah, I'm actually quite happy with that.
Like, we kind of got stuck on that fifth round pick, you know, with the Solomon Bird one. Like, the one straight after it was really simple, but that one was particularly difficult. I think waiting so long.
And that's one thing that, well, we know the Dallas Cowboys have had a lot of success in is being able to draft very well in the fifth round.
But yes,
folks, that is the mock draft. So let's just recap that again. So Graham Barton, Jonathan Brooks, Cedric Fanprance, Solomon Bird, Jalen Ford, Sakari Franklin, and Evan Anderson is the world's team mock draft version one. Yeah. So, and we will post the graphic on our social media for you to view. So give it, tell us what you thought, what we could have done different.
What grades would you get?
Exactly. Yeah. So this has been given a grade of B+ from PFF. So, but yes, Mike, I think it may be time for your little segment now.
Yeah, go on then. All right. It's time for your would you rather. So we do this every week. Let us know as well in the comments on social media as well, guys, what your would you rather be. So what would you rather in the second round, if you had these two choices, Edrin Cooper from Texas A&M or Peyton Wilson from NC State?
For me, I would still go with Peyton Wilson, if I'm being honest.
Interesting.
It might be a shorter career, but you know he's going to be absolutely balling out from the get-go.
Yeah. Do you know
he's going to be a starter?
Yeah, oh, definitely. Straight away. Do you know the comp I've given him? So I've literally just my scouting report on him. My comp for him, based on everything, the intelligence, the tackling form, the injury history, Sean Lee.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Mm-hmm. I like it.
That's what I've got him.
But yeah, I would definitely go with Peyton Wilson. I mean, there is no wrong answer here.
No.
I would be happy with one of those guys if that was the case.
Yeah.
But yes, that is this week's episode of The World's Team. Be sure to go and check out bloginttheboys.com for all your Dallas Cowboys needs for news, updates, etc. And also, be sure to go and check out the Blog and the Boys Network, where you can find it on Spotify and Apple Music, where you can listen to all the podcasts featuring likes of myself and Mike. You can check out Girls Talking Boys, The Writer's Block, The Ocho with RG Ocha. Go and check it out, folks. So you're not going to be short in any content in regards to our Dallas Cowboys. But yes, with that being said, it's a goodbye from me and it's a goodbye from Mike. And just remember, folks, it's not just America's team, it's the world's team.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.